Amen. Back in 1988, Barry Levinson released a movie starring Tom Cruise and Dustin Hoffman, and many of you will recognize the movie as Rain Man, which was a great story about two brothers who got to know one another. And of course, with any good road movie, they had lots of experiences and revelations. But in some ways, what was most interesting about this movie was the whole setup for the premise. If you remember the film, Charlie was a bit of a grifter. He was always on the make, trying to make some money. And he thought that his problems were solved when he learned that his father had died, his estranged father. And all he wanted to do was get his hands on the money. But Charlie was in for a surprise when he found out that all he was going to inherit was a car and some rose bushes, and that he had a brother of whom he knew nothing. And this brother was going to get the estate, which was worth millions of dollars. Raymond, his brother, was autistic, and he was living in a group home, and he was being cared for by professionals. But none of that mattered to Charlie. He didn't care about Raymond. He wanted to get the money. So he schemed to have Raymond released from the home, and he was going to find his way to get the money. You can see that there was a lot of separation between these two people. And over the course of the story, as Charlie gets to know more about Raymond, he has to weigh whether his dreams or the relationship are more important. And while he learns that Raymond has this facility with numbers and recognizing patterns, and his original plan had been to take him to Las Vegas and beat the odds, he comes to decide that's not what he wants to do. And he realizes that he loves his brother. And the movie ends with a poignant moment where Raymond's getting back on the bus to return to the group home where he lived. And he's going to be supported by his father's inheritance. And Charlie waves goodbye to him. And Raymond turns and asks, "Are we going to see each other again?" And Charlie says, "Yeah." Of course, Raymond then goes off. He's in his autistic condition, and his attention shifts off to completely different things. But Charlie had come to recognize the value of that relationship. Separation is something that we're all dealing with these days. We're dealing with it because of the coronavirus, right? It's not really easy for us to get together here for worship. When we do, we can't hug one another or shake hands. And there are people who are dealing with other kinds of separation too. The banner over our front door is a reminder of those people who are being separated, families that are being broken apart. And then we can think of other folks who are just traveling on business or far away from the ones they love. Separation seems to be a big part of our lives right now. But you may be asking, what does this theme of separation, what does this movie Rain Man have to do with today's scripture from passage? Well, it's that theme of separation. It's that division between parties. And in the story from Exodus, we see it's a separation that is forming between God and the children of Israel. You'll remember from last week's reading that God agreed to speak to the people through Moses because they were too scared to hear from him. And Moses had gone up to the mountain to converse with the Lord. But once Moses had left the scene, the people got anxious. They got nervous. They were missing the thing that they wanted. And ironically, they still had that relationship with the living God. But they turned away from it. And they went and had Aaron form a golden calf or a holy cow. Now, I hope the irony isn't lost on you of having something real and life-giving and fulfilling and trading it for something that is completely empty and meaningless. But that's what the Israelites did. And of course, we are all familiar with the story of God's response to their actions. We can be uncomfortable reading this passage because we like to talk about God, particularly in the mainline church, as being someone who loves us and cares for us and always wants the best for us. But here we read about God being angry, or to use a good biblical word, God being wrathful. And his plans to wipe the children of Israel off the face of the earth. Not the first time that God has thought to turn to this ultimate sanction. You remember in Genesis, the story of Noah and the ark? God was so angry and appalled with the behavior of humanity that he wiped out everyone, not just the people, but all of the living creatures. And the only ones who survived were Noah and the animals in that boat. If you fast forward the story a little bit to later in Genesis, we come across Abraham, who is confronted with God's desire to wipe out the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. And unlike Noah, Abraham decides to talk with God, to try to negotiate with him. And he ultimately bargains God down that if Abraham can just find 10 good people in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, he'll be spared. And of course, God agreed to that. But Abraham failed. And so the two cities were just wiped off the face of the earth. And then we come to today's story. And once again, there is some bargaining that goes on between Moses and God, but it's different than what Abraham argued with the Lord. This time, Moses appeals to God's sense of self, to how God wants to be known. And he lays the cards out on the table and says, "Do you want to be known as the God who took your people out of Egypt to kill them in the desert?" And God thought about it, and God decided to spare the children of Israel. Now, none of us were there. None of us has access to God's thoughts or his motives. But I think there's more than vanity at work here. Excuse me. There's more than vanity at work here. God was meant to be in relationship. If you remember, in Christianity, we teach the Trinity, the three persons of the Godhead, and they're all in mutual relationship with one another all of the time. And when God created humanity, he created them in part to be in relationship not only with one another, but with him. So we can surmise that God was pained in addition to being angry. And God didn't want to wipe out the children of Israel. He wanted them to have their future. Now, that doesn't mean that God is just going to turn a blind eye to all of the venal or stupid things that we might do. And if we read our scripture carefully, we see that God is paying attention. And that ultimately the children of Israel, as the kingdoms of Israel and Judah, will wind up being exiled from their homeland. And we know in the story of the church that there are events that appear to have been some kind of divine punishment of people. God wants us to be in relationship. If you remember the words from the Gospel of John, God is love. And that's an amazing thing for us to contemplate, for us to act upon. Yesterday, some of us gathered here for the first service in our sanctuary in more than 6 months to honor the memory of Laura Place. And that sense of separation was there, our inability to hold one another and to have to wear masks and to be cautious around the coronavirus. But the antithesis of separation is connection. And connection is something we have to work at. It's something we have to set our minds to with our family members, with our friends, with our church. Over these coming months, I suspect we may have to work harder than we ever imagined to maintain those connections. But imagine what the price is if we don't. Imagine if we all just slipped off into our own little bubbles not engaging with one another, not coming to worship, not doing book groups, not doing other activities that we like the commune arrange creatively. God gave us the ability to imagine how to do those things. And I believe that one way we can worship God is to make use of the gifts God has given us. Not to take our valuables and to make a lifeless idol, but to use our intellect, and our emotions, and our creativity to find ways to hold together as a community and as a people who are meant to be in relationship.